All right, welcome to Concussion episode 7, right? We're getting fancy, or is it 6?
No, this is actually episode 6.
Okay, episode 6 of Concussion at the steamiest of conventions,
SteamCon US. Episode 6, I'm Vincent Kirkov.
What are you doing, Vincent? Stop, don't try to hijack this. All right, so we're getting back on track here.
We've got a real showman here. US.
Wow. We have two amazing guests, and Ethan, I guess. Vince Kirkov, the master of Run the Length. And we have Steve Margeson all the way from the British Empire.
The British Empire. That's not really a thing.
I really thought you were going to go with the Isles.
But you guys still got colonies.
Not really.
I guess not so much.
No. Whatever.
And how we treat our colonies, too.
That's no good.
Sour note.
Why did we already go to Paulette? Stop.
Sorry.
Too bad.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. We should probably introduce ourselves. Well, Johnny tried to introduce everybody, but not me.
I did the two guests, and then you can introduce yourself.
Oh. My name is Andy.
My name is Ethan.
Yay.
I'm still Vincent.
Yeah.
I'm still Steve.
And I'm still Johnny.
Yay.
Hooray.
So we're at SteamCon in Nashville, Wisconsin.
Nashville, Wisconsin.
Good old Nashville,
yeah.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
GaffCast 2018.
So it's been a long day. We've gone through Nationals just finished earlier on. Mm-hmm. We have somebody here who may have won it, potentially.
I did not win.
You did not.
Spoilers.
He didn't make day two either.
I played in Nationals.
Yeah.
I lost to the guy that won it.
No, he may be joining us.
Oh, yeah, he may join us. Oh.
Well, I think it is. If they're talking about it, it's about me.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And SteamCon. I'm tired.
It's okay. We all are tired.
I'm tired, too.
Yeah. So, season 4 dropped. Was that this morning?
Technically this morning. We were playing yesterday, but yeah, it was this morning, which is amazing because season 4 is the shit. Yep. I am so pumped.
Yep. So, you can belay all those internet rumors. Brewers are awesome.
No, they're fantastic. I played some games with them, and they punched just as hard as they were before.
They're aggressively okay. Don't listen to Vince. He was talking about janky church things where you just score tapping goals with pride for 3 goals and win, which, I
felt like I was more retelling, hey, that secret's strictly the worst.
Secret tech is this.
Oh, you bet it's strictly the worst.
That secret tech I was letting you in on as part of the media program.
Wait, we're part of the media program?
You guys got to project a little bit more. But
oh, so that you guys...
You're fine.
Okay.
Ethan, you were like super tired. So
that,
quiet. You
what?
Just don't want
to...
Is that
how this
works? Decided to turn up. Okay.
Oh, we have a very special guest sitting down right now. The one, the only United States champion and reigning world champion, Alex Botts.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Whoa!
What were we talking about before I came
move,
over?
Move said yeah. beer before beer we gets spilled onto my equipment.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah, we're doing introductions and we're just kind of talking shit. Basically, I don't expect you to listen to our wonderful podcast, but
I have listened to it.
Way special. Holy cow!
That means a lot.
But yeah, we just shoot the shit, basically. We're kind of shooting the shit about season 4 and its release and talking about how brewers are awesome now.
Is that true?
I think they're.
I
want to
believe it.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe.
I've been having a lot of fun. I've played 2 games and one with 6 takeouts.
Oh, have you been playing here this weekend?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, I've played like 2 games so far. Not as many as I would like, but.
Yeah. Well, you're working.
It's yeah.
It's like I've heard. Apparently, someone had a 6-point scalpel activation that did not interact with the ball.
Wow, that's impressive.
I mean, totally possible.
Is that you?
Wait, was that you, Vince?
Maybe.
Nice.
That's right.
I pushed 2 people out of off the pitch while killing another player.
Yikes.
And it wasn't like it was against a bad player. I did it to Owen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That is pretty good. So what do you guys...
So what are our topics?
Yeah.
Are we talking about anything, or should I just like ramble about how I'm absolutely in love with morticians now?
Oh, they're,
that's
they're
fine
really
too.
Good.
I mean, we talk about whatever. We're just cutting us off at 1 hour.
I know.
Yeah, it's loosey goosey.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know one of the things that drew a lot of attention when it first hit was the changes to fish, specifically like Corsair and the loss of momentous damage. Yeah, that does not matter. Corsair is still a friggin' monster. I was playing into Alchemist today, and Corsair's new legendary and the changes and everything that he's made.
What?
Nothing.
I hate you.
You
I hate you. I hate you.
Well, so I agree that Corsair's card is pretty good, but don't you think that, I don't know, his team feels kind of disadvantaged in some ways. It doesn't, Kraken's much better.
Well,
sure.
Kraken's fantastic. Kraken's
but
a lot of fun.
They don't have Gutter anymore.
Yeah.
Is that,
I mean,
feeling like it's a different playstyle at least?
Not so much. That was actually still a 6 takeout game. I didn't score
really?
Any goals.
That's really weird.
What were you playing against?
Alchemists.
What?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what the squaddies and alchemists were?
Mercury, Crucible, I think O-Catalyst. Like, all the good ones. It was weird. Venom.
But my experience so far in season 4 has been I just played doubles, which is not a
what kind of
legitimate format.
What kind of spicy double tech did you have?
Well, we were running. It was Ben Lang and I, the creator of the Gibball app.
Our beloved pundit.
Yes. But he ended up taking Ratchet, Hoist, and Salvo. My tech was I was playing with Meat Hook, Vedox, and Boar. Because you always take Boar when, you know, he's...
Oh, man, you can give Hoist concussion.
I could give Hoist concussion, but also...
Does Hoist have a cup?
Yeah.
Also...
Scything Blow.
Yeah. Scything Blow is much better.
I forgot Meat Hook. It's Scything Blow. Yeah, Scything Blow is obviously the right
choice. Scything Blow on two hits is pretty awesome.
That seems good.
Yeah, so both Hoist and Meat Hook were tag-teaming people left and right. it was pretty awesome.
There's lots of good double stuff you can do with Hoist, for sure.
Correct.
So I have like this real love-hate relationship with doubles, and part of it is really Pat's fault.
Everything Pat's fault?
I mean, Pat has just like solved the meta. He's just like, every list you could possibly come up with, if you just replace one of the teams with blacksmiths, it's better. And I'm like, while that's true, it makes me very sad, right? I mean, my absolute favorite was that terrible, like, that Rats Alchemists team we played.
Oh, yeah.
where we put all but, like, 2 conditions on Friday and made her spend 3 to shake it.
Yeah. we were working so hard to try to get every single condition on a single model.
Seems kind of rude. You guys had all of them, or were you missing?
We didn't have Snared.
Yeah, we couldn't fit Snared into the team, but we got pretty fucking close.
But bad. You didn't go all the way awesome. Though, so is it? Does it really count?
There's no. I don't think there's any 6-man squatty team that has every condition.
I'm pretty sure that's true. I think
I'm assuming you limited it to 2 factions.
Maybe I don't actually 100% know if that's true in season 4 anymore, but it was.
No,
I'm pretty
know.
Sure in season 3.
You can now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Meat Hook probably helps a lot with that because it brings bleed and Snared. That's kind of a weird combo. But that wasn't true in season 3.
Everyone got annoyed when I kept on throwing down my hook token.
Well, it is technically different now, but
it is technically different, but it's still called hooked. So I'm going to put the token down because I own it.
Well, did you put down the condition tokens and the hooked tokens?
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. I did that, and I kept Rowdy next to that ox the entire time.
You're the only guy who's putting down more tokens than he needs.
Isn't this news edition about simplicity? What are you doing? You know, hey, I got the tokens. I'm going to put them down.
We're talking to the wrong people if we want simplicity here.
That ox is Rowdy, and I want people to know it. So, also, so I don't forget it. That's the other good reason to have it down.
That's the spin. You're being helpful to your opponent.
That's true, too, because they kept on trying to crowd him out all the goddamn time. And we had even with the token out, we were like, no, you can't crowd him out. He's Rowdy. Yeah.
I play a simple game. I just hit stuff. I don't like this implication that I make complicated plans. That's for Vince.
This is also very true.
But yeah, season 4 is really exciting. I don't know. There's lots of all the top tier, all the guilds that I think are top tier are super fun to play. And I like have one that's my favorite, but they all seem really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to get more things out. I'm excited to finally get my season 4 cards though. Because those are waiting for me back at home.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you're all in. You're like, brewers are like your baby, right?
That's an interesting one. So actually, morticians are my original team that I played.
Okay.
And then brewers were my second team when I started the game. And I'm actually going to alchemists.
Welcome home, buddy.
I'm enjoying it too.
So saucy.
I have never played alchemists before.
They're fun and interactive, I've heard.
Yeah, no, there's no interaction at all. It's horrible.
And it's one of those where they hit a team in season 4 that I can look at most and go, I did that. So I feel a sense of ownership and I'm like, oh, I want to play them.
Okay. Well, this has ruined the lead into my question.
Okay, well, but I'm still playing Brewers this weekend because my Alchemists aren't painted.
I'm curious as to what models you leave behind in Brewers. I'm just gonna let me wind this up a little bit before, while you think about what your ones are. So like the internet's been kind of down on brewers.
Yeah.
What?
And I think that a lot of that comes from like not being able to like properly read a playbook, which I even struggle with. Like I struggle to understand like how playbooks actually implicate with things and how tech buffs kind of adjust what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right, like you look at like a model of Mash that's like 2-inch melee, glut mass, tough hide. You're like, that can't be that bad, right?
Yeah.
And then like how like the playbooks have been adjusted, and I think they don't excite me personally, which is why I'm not playing them. But I don't think they're like the dumpster fire that everyone says they are.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the things is that there are a lot of people that look at brewers and don't think they're exciting, and it's hard for them to look exciting compared to some of the other changes that have gone on. Like, Alchemists are pretty much a whole new guild, where Brewers just kind of... Their most changed model would be Mash, and he's kind of just doing a similar thing. He's the ball-holding model. He just does it in a different way. So, yeah, I can see why the internet wouldn't be that excited about them, because they've just kind of gotten better at what they did. They didn't get a radical new player like Kraken, for example.
Well, they see changes to like Esters and that, and they don't see that most of her abilities are kind of there, and then she's also got some other really cool abilities as well too.
Yeah,
I think a lot of what it's gonna like struggle with brewers is that butchers exist. So I feel like if butchers didn't exist, brewers would outscrum almost everyone.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, right. I agree.
And
with
that's
that, yeah.
And that's the thing is that like their tough hide means very little to Ox.
Sure.
Right, yeah. And they have bad defensive stats in exchange for tough hide or glut mass or some other defensive ability, and when there's a team that's just like, I send one guy in and he murders your dude, and you're like, well, I like layer these like interlocking tech buffs and crowd outs, and then I rap and I destroy you, and you're like, that's great, sounds like you're working real hard over there, buddy. Right, but Shank's coming in and you don't have Spigot anymore. Right, but getting back to the question, what are you leaving behind?
So I'm trying to think, because when I played Maurice earlier, we did 12s and we did a draft, and I did it very quickly, and I'm trying to remember the models that I left behind. Stoker was one of them, I know that.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
And the other choice that I made, which in hindsight is probably the wrong choice, it was Lucky. Because the condition removal is nice to have, and also he's a fairly solid player. I'd play him in certain matchups. So in terms of, I don't know who my other one would be, because I like both mascots.
Which you play both mascots,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, I really like Scum when I'm playing Tapper.
So I really like Scum, but like Quaff is like your vegetables, and you have to have some of that, or you're like not going to succeed.
I mean, yeah, I can see that. Like the second wind is super important in certain
fighting
teams.
So it's like
teams.
The bag of, what is bag of cloth versus
pick me up.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I mean, I think that there's a lot of guilds now that have two legitimately playable mascots, but the problem, like the difference between two mascots is not worth a player slot in a lot of cases, in a 12.
Yeah.
So like Butchers is an example of that, is that like Truffles might be useful in some matchups somewhere, but it seems really hard to fit him. the difference between truffles and princess feels like it will almost never be worth including truffles in the 12, as opposed to having more options for squatties or whatever.
But I don't even think that's like a great example. I think that's one where like one mascot is clearly better than the other one.
Yeah, that's probably
true. Right? I think a better example is like Dirge and Vileswarm. Like Dirge and Vileswarm both have another squatty that you are absolutely going to include in your 10 or in your 12.
Yeah.
Right? That they synergize with incredibly. And so as a result, you want both. And dropping one makes you kind of want to drop the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's like a really like tough decision where I think that those two are there. I've been playing Morticians at.
Are you on Dirge or Vileswarm?
I'm on Dirge. I'm one.
So wait, are you playing Cossett?
I'm surprised.
So like Vileswarm is like he's fun and he's good, but there's a couple problems with Vileswarm.
Okay.
So like, so Vileswarm's big attraction is that when you can also play Graves, you get like two free influence. Hmm. Problem with this is influence eats clock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then. That's like a downside, but it's like the smallest downside I've ever heard, right?
It's like, first world
influence, and it takes time for me to spend it making attacks. But the other thing is that, like, Dirge, I think Cossett is almost unplayable without Dirge. Like, Cossett is amazing with Dirge, and how easy it is to set it up. But Dirge is useful without Cossett. Whereas I think Vileswarm is just kind of like a furious charge and then your opponent gets a point.
Okay, I can see that.
And so like Dirge, when I don't play Cossett, follows Scalpel around.
Yeah.
Right? And then Scalpel is just tack 8 with a crowd out.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have, and then if they try to counterattack you, they're crowded out by one. Right?
Yeah.
And that's just like incredibly useful. And no one wants to kill the bird, especially now that it has 7 hit points.
Yeah.
It's def 5, 7 hit points, and it eats 2 of your momentum on the way. And a lot of, like, unless you're playing against butchers who, like, all have momentum on 1, right, like, they'll be momentum negative killing that bird.
Sure.
So who are you leaving out of your 12, then, for Morts?
It's Brain Pan and Memory, for sure.
Wow, that surprises me.
It's so easy.
So there's two big reasons here. First of all, I'm new to Morticians, and the mechanical, like, prowess it takes...
Yeah.
And like the discipline it takes to play Brain Pan and Memory strong enough for them to be worth a slot is just not a thing that I'm capable of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And second, you straight up can't play them into certain matchups.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't play them into Morticians if there's any chance they'll drop Vedox. That is just the owner for free.
Into Butchers.
Sorry.
You said Morticians.
Sorry. You can't play them into Butchers at all if there's a chance they'll drop Vedox because it's just... the owner for free.
Yeah.
And then you have to play against 2 captains.
That seems fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you just can't do it. Like it's.
Yeah. So you're dropping Brain Pan and Memory.
Brain Pan and Memory and Pelage.
See, Pelage actually would be one of the ones I would drop. So like, and it's not necessarily because I don't think Pelage is inherently a bad player, but it's one of those like.
She got a season 4 nerf.
What changed?
The same.
Which is no buff.
Yes.
So like my issue with Pelage is that Pelage used to be played into teams like Farmers and Butchers because you got no momentum for attacking her.
Yep.
But now because of all of the 2 damage on 1, especially in both of those factions, they're just like all too happy to spend 5 or less influence killing that model because they have 2 damage on 1. And a lot of them have 3 damage on 2.
Yeah.
Right? And they just, like, can spend 5 or less influence killing her and being like, I'll just take my 1 for taking her out.
Yeah.
I
know.
I have a momentum. I get to participate. I'm going to score my 2 points. I'll see you later.
See, I think that's the thing for me was always that, and it's still the case for me, is that I would rather play Cossett over Pelage because Cossett puts out a similar amount of damage, and then also you have access to Lure on a Stick. So it's like, you don't have to commit Cossett for her to have impact on the game. Where Pelage, you have to commit her.
I actually think you get Cossett in trouble the most when you Lure, because you don't get to Back to the Shadows.
That's true, yeah. I mean, I'm used to, like, I played her a lot in Season 3, so I'm used to playing her without Back to the Shadows, which... So it's like, oh cool, I get Back to the Shadows, this is... made this thing that I always thought was good and I got good results out of is even better.
Yeah, the number of times I've played games today where somebody's like, they like, I come in with Cossett and I deal a bunch of damage, and they're like, yeah, that was cute, but like you just handed me 2 points. And then I back to the shadows, and they're like, oh.
Yeah. And it's another thing is like the... A lot of people tend to be surprised about the amount of damage she can put, especially when you factor in the bird. Is the assist from Dirge makes her damage output insane. Like, I've seen
situations... so easy to set up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that, like, it doesn't... Maybe it seems reasonable that you could read those two cards and feel like that it's kind of hard to use tag-along properly to set up assist, but it's really... You just have to be thinking about it. It's really not that hard as a setup. So and it reaps a ton of rewards, like you were saying. Her playbook gets extremely good when she's with assist.
And a lot of the reason that's not that tough is because Dirge has flying, and it's you can't mess it up with your own model's positioning.
Yeah.
Like he just flies over, like, oh no, Ghast is in the way, oh it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just about taking like slightly oblique charge angles, basically. So you kinda go like past them or next to them.
And then, so, now that all the blogs are out.
Yeah.
Right. What do you wish you had more time to work on? What do you wish in season 4 that you had more, like, time to put in the oven? What is that, like, thorn in your side that's, like, not quite ready? Or, like, it kind of irks you that it, like, it made it to print, but you're like, I wish I had more time, or it doesn't quite sit well with me.
It's a hard one to answer because we're so early.
Yeah.
it's the day of.
It's one of those, like, there's always concerns when we put out anything that you go, this comes out and we hope the community will like it.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that we've done a good job. And, like, we get a feel for often how our work tends to pan out and so on, but when you're changing so much, it's so hard, and I can't even realistically give you an answer because it's just too early. Like it's one of those where I look at certain models, and like Stoker is one, for example, where I look at him and I go, maybe, like, personally for me, maybe we should have given him a little bit more. But it's also one of those where I've seen certain players go, oh, cool, Stoker got a buff, because he did get a buff. He got knocked down, moved down lower. And they've gone, yeah, I'm really excited to play him now. And so it's one of those where all your concerns, there always seems to be someone who's like, no, I'm excited for this change that you made. And we just have to wait and see. Like, I might be right. Stoker may be dropped from every Brewers lineup in future, but it'll take time for us to realize that, and until then it's largely going to be just stuff that we fret about. Like, Stoker is the one offhand I can think of that I'm a little bit concerned about.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I feel like I've taken over your podcast. But I have like so many more questions.
That's cool. Fine.
Ask.
I mean, you guys are the guests or whatever, so it's kind of cool. Yeah. But no, like, yeah, I was like playing Brewers today as well, and Stoker was my first cots. I also wasn't a fan of like Stave either. He still feels like he doesn't do as like much, and he's still like a huge victim. And now he has to get another half inch closer to the death.
Well,
for me,
I mean,
which is
the half inch
scary.
Closer doesn't bother me. And like, it's nice that he's more survivable.
A little bit,
The thing is, the payoff for taking him is less.
Sure, because like, even
the barrel doesn't push as far.
Right, it's only 2 inches, and that's like a huge hit. Yeah, because like the 4 inches like completely like blows up a scrum or whatever, and then it's a whole new game at that point. But now it's just 2 inches. It's 2 inches.
I mean, the fact that he can, I mean, at least it use a heroic to throw that barrel rather than spending the 2 influence.
That's nice that he actually
makes it
like
so
a
you
battery,
can
yeah.
you can kind of do more stuff with him. But yeah, it's.
It's just, like, the opportunity cost, like, that could be Hooper. That could be any other squatty. Like maybe if we were playing, like, 7 models.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I could see him. I actually think the 7-model format. So, like, we talk about these, like, side formats.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. And actually, that's the one I would love to see. I would love to see the 7-model format. Although, I suspect the teams that have really great flex slots... Like morticians and alchemists would dominate that format.
Yeah, I can see that.
Could you see like a 7-model format where if you have a model that's taken out, you could substitute? Like bring on somebody from the bench?
Can you expand on that? Like you're still playing six on the field, but six when on the field, comes but, off, but you can put a different one on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
That could be sort of neat. I
was thinking like seven activations. Like
oh,
like
you, playing, you have seven models on the
playing
field.
Five okay. squaddies, captain mascot.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I always thought the like a substitution method might be pretty. Like you find out like you. You might not realize the matchup you're going into. I mean, obviously, you guys know the matchup you're going into, but like, you might have that good reserve player. Like, well, maybe I want to throw in this person in. And
so, I have a question about that format. So, let's say, like, I'm playing. I don't remember what I'm playing. So, I have you take out one of my models,
mm-hmm.
and I sub the model in. Do I come back in on Icy Sponge or I come back in full?
Because
then it's always better to swap, right?
Correct.
If you don't
Correct.
Come in Icy
yeah.
Sponge,
yeah. yeah. I would say probably the substitution would come into Icy Sponge. That would make the fairest probably.
If the substitution like came in after being taken out, if it's like a fresh model, I think it would come in full health. Otherwise,
okay.
What would
if you keep that model out until the next maintenance phase, then it would come in as full instead of Icy Sponge. If you sub,
no. Anytime a model gets taken out, if it would ever come back in, it comes back Icy Sponge. I think that would be how you balance that, because otherwise you'll be able to like just.
You could just rotate high health.
You can just
models.
Rotate, yeah. Okay. Like farmers would be able to abuse the shit out of that because they'd just send someone up into the scrum or just like brawl to death, die.
Oh, you finally
bring back another full health model. Kill another thing.
You finally did 19 damage to Fallow. Well, here's Wendell.
Bruce seems just as good with all the tough height as well. So,
I got you with raw numbers.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it makes sense.
But then I think there's like an interesting like meta that could develop there, where it's there are models that are capable of being strong or almost their full selves when coming back on.
Sure. Yeah.
Like
Shark.
Yes, Shark. But I don't think that's not a good example because it's captain.
Yeah,
you can't,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you could substitute your captain.
Siren.
I think like a good example is, and I'm going to cheat here a little bit, is like season 3 Tater.
Yeah.
So like season 3 Tater coming back in can heal himself and grab a harvest marker and heal 7 on the turn on the activation he comes back in.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And he comes back in on 8. Right? So like he's like a real he's essentially full health when he comes back in.
Wouldn't Scourge be the same as well then?
Yeah,
too?
So like Scourge or Windle are similar in that vein. So I think there's like a really interesting like interplay to do that. And I would love to see someone like champion a like alternative format like that,
mm-hmm.
where it still feels 100% like Guild Ball. It's not like super goofy,
yeah.
But it's just different enough that like something special is going on here.
Kind of like a sideline of support. Yeah.
More like what is it in War Machine? The like active duty roster, is that still around? Am I?
ADR is more of the casters, casters you could choose from.
Well,
but
that format is still like it's still War Machine, right? But it's you're limited in scope as to what you're allowed to play.
So it like is a self-contained meta then? Yeah, it's kind of
champions.
It's champions as well.
Yeah. It's like the ADR goes to champions.
Isn't like the model substitution a thing already in like the big wig thing? Isn't that like already a card that you can play where you can like swap out models?
You're asking the wrong.
I think it is.
I think I remember seeing something like that somewhere. So I think I think it exists somewhere. I think you just need to expand upon it.
Yeah, maybe I'll have that for Build a Guild.
Yeah, I can see someone's getting just real degenerate. Like you were saying, oh, you killed Fallow. Well, here's a full health Wendell.
Right. Also, Snack Break is kind of hilarious now.
It is.
Yeah, 6 HP is too much.
I love it.
My favorite is on the counterattack.
Yeah, yeah.
The counterattack Snack Break is the best.
Oh, it's so saucy.
The counterattack Snack Break is my favorite.
I'm with
you. When you have Thresher Legendary and you make the counterattack for like a life drinker. All right, everyone, bid adieu to...
The world champion is not leaving.
Thanks for having me on. I'm just totally wiped out. Sorry, guys.
All right, no problem.
See you later, man.
Yeah, I should mention that we are recording this, and it has just turned over to 12:06.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that late.
Yeah, it might be... My laptop is probably still on Central Time.
Oh, you mean Tennessee? Okay, yeah.
No, it's 12:06.
Whack.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to do one more topic, or you guys want to call it, or what do we want to do?
We can.
No.
We can do topics.
That's fine. Yeah, we're only about a half hour in, so.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Yeah, it feels like we've been talking for forever.
So much to do. Yeah. So Vince much just doesn't shut up. It's true.
So I thought there was a really interesting. I'm sorry. Just,
no,
yeah, I just
no, 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 go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It's okay. You are like a talking. Like,
I'm always heckling
awesomeness
you
or whatever. Like this. The community. So like you are the like topic generator or whatever. It's awesome.
So I wanted to talk kind of a bit like take like kind of separated from like what's good in the current like what models are good right now.
Sure.
And take it to like kind of what events are going on coming up here.
Sure.
And. So one of the things that when it was announced, we were really against it, and our tune has really changed, is that when they announced that the last Nationals here would be Season 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right? And then everything going forward would be Season 4, including Worlds. And I remember us being like, oh, that's kind of dumb. Like, we've been practicing this like format for so long, and then this came along, and we're like, oh, thank God. Like, I'm so excited to see something new, something whatever.
Yeah.
Do you guys reflect my opinion? How do you guys feel about Worlds contenders qualifying in Season 3 and then having to learn and play Season 4 for Worlds?
I love that. I think it's like an amazing like skill check for those players because like it's basically like saying like, hey, you guys are great, but now you have to learn something new and compete against like the best in the world, presumably. So it's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, looking at bots, I think he already knows like the ins and outs of friggin' everything because that's the way bots functions, and I don't think it's an issue for them whatsoever. I mean, yeah, you got to learn some of the new matchups, you got to learn some of the changes, you know, specifically the way, for example, alchemists function and how you have to play against that. It's an entirely different team, but at the same time, you know, it's not like. You know, it's not like the jump from Mark II of Wormhordes into Mark III, you know, which was huge.
I mean, the change from Season 3 to Season 4 is also will help show who actually can build and adapt to the meta instead of just being list reliant on.
I think the other thing, and it's one of the reasons we wanted to do it, is that there's kind of that weirdness of, and I think back to the very first SteamCon when Season 3 dropped, and Worlds was done at Season 2, and it's one of those where everyone is looking forward at Season 3 and people are playing Season 3, and Season 2 at that time just looks dated. It's like it's kind of the last hurrah of that, and it's like this is meant to be like kind of the premier event and the thing that people get excited about, and it's hard to get excited about it when you're like, well, in the current format and the way the game is played, that wouldn't work, or you know, that is different and so on. And it's just one of those where we wanted to create that sort of excitement of, oh, Worlds is in Season 4, so it's going to be relevant what people play in Worlds to people that are currently playing the game, rather than being this weird halfway of we're playing the old edition and the new edition at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, how far away is Worlds? Sorry if I'm...
It's like a month, okay. Roughly.
So
like the 12th of November
it's
or something.
Like, yeah, it's like mid-November.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it would... I feel it would be really weird after edition change to slip back to the previous edition, you know, like a month after it's already out.
Yeah, I mean, at least with like the first SteamCon, it was kind of similar to... It would be the equivalent of Worlds happening now. Because at the first SteamCon, Season 3 dropped at that weekend and Worlds was that weekend. Okay. But because of the way things are set up and we want to do it at UK and we wanted to drop Season 4 here, sure. it would have felt weird, like you said, going back in time to an old format when everyone is getting used to the new one.
Yeah, that would be kind of similar to like War Machines, like when they went over to 2 to 3 and then suddenly have the World Cup on 2 or the Iron Gauntlet on 2.
Yeah.
Mark II. It'd just be feel weird.
And at least for us, we're super excited to see what people bring because we're curious to see, for example, like especially people who play specific guilds and have always played specific guilds. Are they going to play the same guild in Season 4 or are they going to change? And what kind of what does the meta look like? And what do... Because people are just going to play what they think is good.
Yeah.
And that's... Mm. So it's going to be interesting to me.
Are you guys hoping that it's not all farmer weekend?
I mean, it's all like, well, from SteamCon last year.
I mean, oh, it wasn't even an old farmer weekend.
Are you talking about US SteamCon?
Yeah,
US SteamCon, there were two farmers. Players.
Yeah.
And it's like, still worth talking about, at least.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and both of them were excellent. Like, Wadi is a great player.
Yeah, he's a weapon. Right? That's for sure.
He deserved to be up there.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, like, Bots has proven himself today that, like, he didn't need Thresher to be broken.
Sure.
To go.
Correct. He played, like, Blacksmiths, right?
He played Blacksmiths.
Which is, like, a quote-unquote middle-tier guild or whatever in, like, Season 3, which is awesome that he kicked so much ass with them.
And he, like...
It's because he figured out how to make them good.
But I mean, that's also, that's a testament to the player, though, too.
Yeah, it's like skill. I mean, he's incredible.
Just being able to see and do everything on the field, that's...
Also, Boss decided super late in the day, or super late in the game, what he was playing.
Okay.
Right, like, so he had been dabbling in Blacksmiths, and we'd been playing casual games since I came out, but like on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like not even a month ago that he was like, we're doing Blacksmiths for US Nats.
I had been wondering what he was going to play, because it was a case of, obviously he had his stint in Butchers, and then he took, like, obviously, previously, a long time ago, he was known for playing predominantly Union, and it was like, is he going to go back to Union, like, to play that Fan Tooth and things like that, and Spigot? So I was kind of interested, and when I saw that he'd rocked up with Blacksmiths, given the recent rise of Blacksmiths, it didn't surprise me, but it was interesting to see.
So he was really excited upon the Blacksmith release, and we, like, how the Blacksmiths evolved over their time.
Yep.
Is super interesting, because we were like, wow, this guild of supposedly six captains has one captain, right? That was like everyone's take upon release. Like, everyone's like, Farrah captain, nothing else works. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Can I swear on your podcast?
I don't fucking care.
Okay, I might work it in later. I'm just curious.
Really, and there's no editing either, so don't say anything really bad.
Hey, you like truncate for silence.
I had suspected there was no editing.
No, the editing involves cutting up to the part where we introduce ourselves, and then cutting off the ramble after we say we're finally done.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the editing of my podcast.
I imagine this is great content, is talking about how your podcast is edited.
Oh, yes, exactly. Excellent.
But
exactly.
Anyway, back to where we were. Sorry, I just like ADD tangent there.
He pulled them in.
That's our podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. All full of tangents.
Because I love you.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to see how that faction evolved.
Yeah.
Because now, like, let's... Assuming we're still talking Season 3.
Yeah.
That Ferrite is actually considered the third choice for captain.
Yeah.
That, like, it's like, you want to lead Anvil, and Anvil has some matchups that are just, like, kind of unwinnable for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, so where you can't play Anvil, you play Burnish largely.
Yeah.
And then if you're really outclassed in fighting, like, if it's just a team you can't outfight, you play Ferrite there. Which is just, like, watching that team that's only been, like, I think they're 10 or 11 months legal.
February.
We assume the full release, they're February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we're in October, Season 4 comes out here, right? That's the time of that faction. And to see that faction go from one captain, it's a scoring guild, that's all it does, and they only saw one release in that time that changed that.
See, I think that Cinder was she was like, I mean, she like completely like transformed the guild, though. Because you finally had this squaddy who, instead of being like this piece that's so reliant on all of the masters, it's now this like independent like weapon that you can use and kind of leverage your advantages too. Because she's like the same playbook or whatever, so she can actually like fight by herself without support.
They had independent pieces, but what they didn't have was another fighter. So like before, it was like Anvil like tease up Sledge, you deliver Sledge, and if Sledge doesn't get the job done, you're done fighting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and now like you have two model, you essentially have two Sledges.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, the other thing that you have as well is you have a model that can kind of reach out and get someone. Like, it's one of those where Vetsinder sits there, threatens, you know, I'm gonna come in and mess you up. And puts you in that awkward situation is go, okay, I need to deal with Vetsinda, but when I try and deal with Vetsinda, Sledge is going to be there ready to clean up.
Well, that's exactly what I dealt with every time I've played Blacksmiths this weekend is either Sledge is kicking my ass or Vetsinda is kicking my ass, and it's not fun.
Okay, so all I'm really hearing here is I played Blacksmiths correctly back in the day.
You do it right, man. We shouldn't have Cinder, though. So.
I didn't have Cinder, but I basically ended up using Sledge and Iron as being my beat sticks. He's an amazing ball carrier, but Iron can usually get a lot of damage done with him and Sledge.
This is kind of like when... in Season 3, when the July Errata hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, removed Harry from being in every single guild. Mm-hmm. And, there was significant nerfs to Harry, and Harry became kind of this tech control piece.
Yeah.
From, a piece that fought to having, some, side tech control stuff. And then for Alchemist specifically, Vitriol went to a purely striking role instead of from, a striker that chipped in on damage in some time. You saw the Alchemist Guild kind of transform in what it was. The Alchemist Guild was it 2-2'd and it 1-4'd quite often. But the thing was that it won scrums over and over and over and over again. It just it would win the scrum because it had two models that reliably hit two damage double push, which let them reshape the scrum and fight and build these really advantageous positioning abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then had kind of two other models that could chip in, that being Midas, who, while he had momentous damage, didn't quite have, wasn't a reliable beater on his own.
Correct.
Because two damage on 4,
yeah.
1 damage momentous on 3. And then Vitriol, who had 2 damage on 2, and once per turn 3 damage on 2.
Yeah.
Right, was really able to help out with that plan. And then when all that went away, the Alchemist Guild had to evolve, and they evolved in ways that people were not expecting. I think you will see that in 6 months when the top guild comes, when all the chips settle and we figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And the top guild happens, right? And then we take away their best pieces, or we hurt their best pieces. And I hope it's not as brutal as it was for Alchemists.
Because it was a big fall.
It was a big deal. Bad. So any one of them, they could have survived on their own.
Mm-hmm.
The Midas nerfs I thought were really on par. I thought the Midas nerfs were spot on, but he couldn't survive losing Harry and losing Vitriol.
Sure.
Yep. Right, in that way. And if Midas had stayed strong, he probably still wouldn't have survived losing Harry and losing Vitriol. It was that combination of team that made it strong.
Because, they got 3 nerfs, right?
So, yeah.
All in one, and that's just so much for that guild, because they...
Absolutely.
Well, that evolved into Smoke Happy Fun Times or
exactly,
whatever, which were great for you.
It's also busted.
Which was exciting, because it was a thing that I had thought was strong before, but was not worth trying, because it was never going to be as strong as the best thing in the game.
So the really interesting thing about the smoke thing that you were playing is I saw that in Season 2. So before I worked at Steamforged, guy in my local group, Michael Coomber, he plays fairly competitively in the UK, does fairly well, but he essentially, when the Season 2 book came out and he saw Vet Catalyst, he played kind of the denial, we're not going to engage with you, and if you do, Vet Cat is just going to come in and mess you up. And he played that in Season 2, which, before you get the momentum for going,
We played that too, and we thought that that had killed it. We thought that getting the momentum going second killed it.
And it was one of those, we played that an awful lot, and he proxied Vet Cat an awful lot, and then obviously Season 3 happened, and he still played it a little bit, but it was one of those, it was then funny that when it came round and you were doing that, and it's I've seen this before, and it was good then, and it's I remember that pain, so I imagine it was good, and it was good in Season 3 as well.
Right, but what really excites me is seeing how that guild that was on top will evolve, because they're not going to roll over and die. Top players will be playing that guild, and they're not going to abandon ship.
Yeah.
I mean, some will.
Yeah. That's always the case, though.
Mm-hmm.
But people will evolve, and they'll find another thing that's good.
Yeah.
And, like, if, for example, 6 months from now, Scalpel gets brought down, it's interesting to see that Obulus with these new strong squaddies, if the squaddies stay as they are, I think that team is still rock solid.
Yeah,
they're pretty incredible now. I'm a big fan as well. Yeah.
Putting my cards on the table, I think Scalpel is, like, absurd. Like, I'm playing Scalpel, and the thing is like, what I'm doing is strong, and I'm, like, moving pieces around, and I'm building my scrum the way I want it, and I'm doing whatever I please, right? And it feels amazing. And then it's the thing that dawns on me is that, like, this is going to scale with skill.
Yeah.
As I get better with this guild, this is going to get better. And I think Bryce told me, he's like, yeah, he's like, the thing about Scalpel is, I mean, he's like, oh, the thing about Scalpel is, is that her skill cap is essentially infinite.
Yeah. Oh, like, I agree. Yeah.
It's essentially 100%. Like, it's roofless. Like,
when people have asked me about Scalpel and so on, the thing I've always said to them was that during playtest for her, I've never played a model in Guild Ball before where I finish the activation and I go, there was definitely a better way I could do, or I could have gotten more value out of that. And I don't think there's any other model in the game that I can think of. And Obulus is perhaps the closest comparison because he has so many options. But Scalpel is one of those where you go, there was probably a better way I could do that and get more value if I was a better player. And I don't know when that stops with Scalpel because the possibilities are so huge.
Yeah, and that's the really interesting thing, is that they're similar in a lot of ways, but it's like, Scalpel has a lot of, like, team control, but it's limited in distance and range.
Yeah.
And Obulus has a lot of one model control.
Yeah.
Like, he controls what one guy does.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a really interesting, like, dichotomy for the two captains, is, like, do they have a super solo? Is that the thing I need to control?
Yeah.
Like, being able to be like, oh, butchers are destroying me. Hey, Puppet Master Ox, walk away from us. Get out of here.
Yeah, and that was very, like, intentional, was we wanted, like you said, we want Obulus great at controlling a single model. It was like, well, what happens if you have a captain that controls lots of, you know, multiple models, but does it a very small amount? And that was kind of the original concept for Scalpel, and as it turns out, it works, and it seems like a cool concept. And yeah, we're excited for her, and I'm excited for when I get to play her again.
So,
okay,
hypothetical question. Here we go.
Oh,
okay.
No.
Oh boy,
you've just won nationals for some event.
Okay,
right. You're going to SteamCon.
Yep.
Right. You have to pick a season 4 team. Right.
Okay.
Your best chance to win it, because of course you want to win it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. What do you play?
I'll start listening.
What
quick.
Do you play?
What do I play? So, it would probably be Mortz. My choices would be Mortz, and because I think Mortz is super strong at the moment, and also I kind of have, like, the reps with them. I've played them a lot, so I have the experience of, it's a case of, I need more experience with Scalpel, but I have experience with Obulus, so I can play Obulus, and that's a lot of the work done. So it would be Mortz for me. The other thing I would perhaps look at is, you know, something that's very direct, like, Butchers are super appealing just because they're strong and the game plan is simple, and, like, having played like Morticians in a 5-round event, it's draining because you're working hard every game. And with Butchers, you're not working anywhere near as hard, at least in your brain and how much work you're putting
in. Get up
in.
And smash. Yo, dog, yeah, they're pretty over much. There, fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Murder this thing. Go.
Yeah. And also the other thing that makes Morticians taxing is if you mess up, things can spiral real quickly.
They evaporate.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I kind of encountered, you know, this weekend with Fish, is playing Fish, you know, something that revolves so heavily on the ball and how you have to manipulate it against, you know, other teams that can, you know, say manipulate the ball just as well. It's super mentally exhausting, you know. How long did Nationals go yesterday?
Oh, it was 4 rounds.
Well, hours.
Oh, it was just like normal tournaments. So like eight hours yeah. plus like a break, so nine, let's call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And having to play Fish, you know, considering I dropped Shark three matches yesterday, you know, it's always constantly, and you know, and this is what Bots does really well, is being able to always kind of find that best route and figure it out. And that's why I think he's, for better or for worse, I'd honestly say almost mastered blacksmiths, if not actually mastered them.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Yeah, that mental game where you're just basically, yeah, you just have to, I mean, with a team similar like the Butchers, where you just push forward and just kill. I mean, with a control team, you really have to figure out how can I put this piece in the best position so it's not taken out, but also inflicts the most shenanigans on my opponent.
I think I have to disagree with you here a little bit, Ethan. I don't think that Bots is, by any stretch of the imagination, mastered blacksmiths. And this isn't like the argument where I think that like no one has mastered Guild Ball, because the community is just not large enough to have gotten there. But I actually think it's that blacksmiths reward really strong core foundations of like play and skill, because they can play all versions of the game very well. And then they have positional synergies that really reward you, right? So like, they don't require an absolute mastery of the specific guild, but instead they reward just being good at the game.
And I think that's more what I meant to say, maybe not mastered like blacksmiths as a guild, but like knowing how to get the most out of them, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
and it's one of those, like, I can totally see that when I look at like a WTC where England Team 1 took two blacksmiths and their reasoning for taking that. And it was an interesting one in terms of that. I can at least say their logic was that they were of the opinion that if they played two blacksmiths that they could get reasonable matchups, like what they believed would be 50-50 matchups, and they reckoned their strong fundamentals of play would carry them through. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those where I'm like, yeah, I can totally see that logic and why you would go for something like that.
Yeah, and then they took a team that had almost no bad matchups, engineers.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything that they were super strong into, but they had very few bad matchups, and they just led it every single time.
Yeah, yeah.
They were like, we're gonna figure out our matchups from here. And they just like threw one Guild of the Wolves with a player at the helm that was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, he won none of his games.
yeah.
He was there for, eat everything. Whatever, it still worked out though, right?
All right. Well, I mean, we can keep on going on. Normally we could kind of switch off and kind of give quick recommendations here. So we're coming up on the hour here, so.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Do you guys, cool. Well, you guys haven't been on this, so you've already heard our recommendations.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
We go ahead and recommend something that, you know,
and it can be anything.
Anything. Like movies, TV, you know, drinks, anything. So okay. do you want to give it a recommendation?
Go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I recommend that you come to Chicago on December 15th.
plug.
We forgot to do announcements.
And come to Second Wind.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. There are only 11 seats left. Ooh. And this is hard capped at 64 because it's going to be a little bit tight, but we have... Yeah. Laid out the tables, and it will absolutely fit. But it is going to be tight at 64. I cannot extend it any more than that.
I'm super Alarmist glad Brewery. to hear that you're like hitting that. Looks like you're going to hit that 64.
I think so. I think we're also, there's been like a run on it. This like we've had 9 signups this week.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Right, and I expect that after season 4 drops, after this weekend happens, that there'll be kind of a run on it.
Yeah, the hype train will be in relation.
Choo-choo! Yeah, right. I'm probably going to sign up as well.
We're also very close to announcing parts of our swag bag.
Okay.
Which we're really excited about. Because, like, the last, like... So, when we started this, I was very naive to how much effort this took. But... When we started, like, we started planning Second Wind in June.
Yeah.
And for a December event. So, like, we knew that it was going to be tough, but we, like, didn't really have, like, an idea of, like, what it really took. Like, we had our, like, preconceived notions, but no plan survives contact with the enemy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so... Like, we're locking in the last of our requirements.
Yeah.
And we've got our budget essentially locked down for what prize support's going to be. And we're real, like, number per person is like $4 higher than we expected to be.
Okay.
And we're really excited about that. Right. And so we've got two big things coming in, including we're really close to locking down what everybody exclusive is going to get. I unfortunately can't announce it because it's like.
Sure.
We have to be able to manage to put it together to make sure it happens.
Yeah that's fair
and
enough.
Then I'll happily announce this because this is going to happen one way or the other. There's going to be a custom ball token for every single player that walks through the door.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. And we got the final sculpt for it last night.
Okay.
Right. Oh, nice. And I'm really excited. We have to do like final revisions and then make sure it casts well.
Yeah.
But come hell or high water, there'll be a custom ball token and we're really excited about it. So second one's going to be awesome. Come out. I understand that like December is a tough month.
Yeah, it's one of those. I even looked at it and it was like, if it wasn't December, I would have considered it.
Well, the it's finals weekend for me.
Yeah. Well, we tried
and
to be
like
as
Christmas
late
as well. Yeah, which sucks for me.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it had to be after Steam Cons. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We weren't going to be able to compete with the Steam Cons. Like we understood that, and then like you talk about. Like, essentially all of November is moved because SteamCon is there.
So yeah,
SteamCon's on the only probably good weekend in November to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if anybody's going to SteamCon UK, we can't get them.
Yep.
So, and we at the time thought that Season 4 would launch at SteamCon UK. When we when we locked in our dates for when we were going to do this. So we wanted to be after SteamCon UK. And we didn't want to directly compete with a new edition coming out the same weekend we were running our Season 3 tournament. Like, that would be a disaster for us.
Yep.
Like, cause even if we filled it with 64, everyone's like, can it be season 4, please?
Yeah.
Right, like,
and then you have the 20 that don't upgrade. And
right, yeah. So we, like, decided to move it later in the year. And then it's like, we had two weekends in December. We could do it the weekend before that one or that weekend. That was the weekend that worked for our venue.
Yeah.
So that was the weekend we did it. And Alarmist is great. Alarmist just won Best North American Hazy IPA. Out of 391 contestants, right? We drank it on an episode one or two episodes ago, depending on release order that happened. and it was absolutely fantastic. You should come out. There'll be like a little something for buying beer and patronizing. It's going to be an amazing event. I'm so excited. This has been like my baby for the last several months, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that it's doing well and it looks like it's going to be a really good event because I know in the U.S. how hard it is to get bigger events going because of the travel.
It's huge.
Yeah, the U.S. is like a massive country and it's just impossible to get people. Yeah,
the population density sucks.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, compared to the U.K., where it's just like, we're having a tournament. Okay, it filled up in about 12 seconds.
Yeah, pretty much any weekend in the U.K., you can probably play a 16-man or a 32-man and, you know, drive a couple of hours at most and get a tournament.
Yeah, that's amazing, because me and Ethan and Andy all drove about, 10, 12 hours here, and you drove, like, 7 or 8?
Yeah,
so.
That was the thing we were planning. We're like, if it's 32, it'll be a success. And it's a huge event that we're planning, and we're sitting here at 53 being just ecstatic.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
That's really awesome, yeah.
So that's my recommendation. What has everybody else got?
All right, I am going to recommend our Lord and Savior Dead Cells. I finally picked it up, and I'm in. I love it. It's fantastic.
What tree are you?
I'm going your cunning tree or whatever. And just
the tactics,
yeah. And just trapping things because it's... safe and easy, and I'll probably like end up doing brawling or whatever. I can
brutality,
yeah, and just like fight and beat people up or whatever. Because I have like that crazy, like with a Hyperlight Drifter or whatever, it's very like tense and crazy kind of fighting or whatever. And I enjoy that kind of stuff, so yeah, brutality is the next.
So the funny part is, I think both times I beat the Hand of the King in there because you get new cells in. The second time I beat him with two cells. To get the second cell, I beat him on the brutality tree.
Oh shit! Nice
with the shovel.
Of course,
so. I picked up Dead Cells.
Yep.
Like I think the week you guys recommended it.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I have been like going nuts with it.
Yeah.
And I actually love the survivability tree.
Oh, you do?
I really do.
You are the first.
I'm not having anything with it, yeah.
There's like two weapons that are really great in the survivability tree, like the broadsword and the the crossbow. The crossbow's DPS.
Crossbow's pretty solid.
The crossbow's freaking absurd.
The only problem I have with the crossbow is the lead up time before it actually fires the bolt.
It almost requires you to parry to be able to fire it. Right. Which is fine. Because that tree is about the parry.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. And just like being able to play that yo-yo game with your health pool is just like, I just really enjoy it. And I actually haven't beat the game yet.
Oh, okay.
A lot of that has to do with Into the Breach coming out.
Oh, that was going to be my recommendation.
I will just plan it as a perfect segue over
here. Hey, Steve, what do you have for a recommendation?
I love you.
So I'm going to recommend Into the Breach. So yes. Into the Breach came out a while ago on PC, and I didn't get around to picking it up. And it's made by the same people who made FTL, which also an awesome game. Yep. So the general concept of Into the Breach is it's a turn-based tactics game where essentially you control mechs and you're fighting off kind of bug hordes, kind of, you know, your stereotypical alien kind of threat. But it's a turn-based, almost puzzle game where each turn is, oh, these things are going to happen, certain buildings are going to be attacked, certain mechs are going to be attacked, and how are you going to pick apart this puzzle of the enemies?
Yep.
And it's one of those where it's just so satisfying, and it's super quick, and it's all procedurally generated as well, so you play different missions each time you play, and it's available on Switch as well, so I could, like, I'd be playing it on the flight over here, and I'm going to be playing it on the flight back as well.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Switch is
Xeno Squad, so I'm telling you. Xeno Squad, best one.
Which one is Xeno Squad?
That's the one with the, I think the shield one, the laser dude.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that squad.
Oh, it's so good.
The laser mech.
The best one in the game.
The laser mech, like,
it kills everything.
But they stay near the buildings, and you shoot your own buildings. The Jeep is garbage.
What Jeep?
The, like, little, like, treads thing that, like, hits people and deals damage to itself.
That thing, that thing is, if you get the pilot that gives itself armor, that thing is indestructible. You win. I mean,
it is pretty good, yeah.
I
mean, like, the self-damage run, too, and that's a lot of fun.
Attack pilot, because that's the best one.
Archimedes or whatever.
You mirror on the Archimedes
train. Yeah, the move after attacking, getting two moves and then also doing damage.
That's
squad is so good. Because if you can move laser mech around all the time,
you really should.
You always have shots.
Yeah. So, you absolutely do.
You definitely need to check this out. So, like, what's really clever about the game is that, is like the structure in which it, like, functions is that the bugs move.
Sure.
Project where they're attacking. You move an attack, and then the bug's attacks resolve.
Okay.
Well, and environment stuff, which is important.
It's important. It's not as important, but yeah, it's like, yeah.
It is.
I've heard
many good things about it, and it's definitely up my alley.
So it allows you to, like, really feel in control, even though the circumstances are often too much for your team to handle.
Yeah.
Which just creates this really beautiful mix of, like, the desperation that, like, Pacific Rim 1, at least, instill in what was going on. And I just, like, it's really fantastic, and it keeps it small and tight. You never have more than 3 units, so you don't get that bloat that you often got in, like, the later missions of, like, Advance Wars, which was, like...
Yeah. Oh, Advance Wars is also my jam, too.
The
only
game that's even worth comparing to this one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's one of those as well where the different squads play so differently is that... You'll start off with the standard squad, and you go, oh, I understand this game. I think I'm really good at this. And then you'll pick up the next squad, and their abilities will be so different and will make you think about the game in different ways. And there are, like, 6 squads, I think, in the game?
Eight.
There's 8 and the secret one, which you have to unlock everything to get.
There's a secret one, spoilers.
Actually, spoilers.
I mean,
technically,
like,
11, then.
Once you unlock one thing or whatever, then it's...
Technically 11, then, because there's the 8 base, the random, the secret, and then the custom.
Yeah, and each one that you play just changes the way you play and makes you look at the game in a different way. It's just that one more-ish kind of feel of, like, oh, I want to do one more mission. And then, like you said, they're nice and concise and tight little puzzles.
I mean, you can do, like, a speed run of the whole game in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah,
oh, you're playing really fast and loose with 30 minutes, though.
Blitzkrieg Squad, boy, gotta beat the first 2 islands in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it. But that's
I would like jack that down to easy or whatever to do that.
That's
but yeah.
But that's a top tier recommendation.
Yes, yeah, it's outstanding. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So my quick recommendation is I don't think we've ever recommended it on here, but Twilight Imperium 4th edition.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yes.
You should get. I mean, it's much better than 3rd edition. It's not going to last. It's still going to last a lot of hours, but no, it's
6 to 8 hours, yeah.
It's less hours than the previous edition. it's much more streamlined. There's a lot more. It feels like that there's a lot more tactics involved in here. The races are better defined. The special rules for the races are better defined. There's new special races. It's overall is a much better edition. I enjoy it every time we play it. That's about it.
See, Twilight Imperium makes me. So I've never played it, and there's what like it's always been on the list to play because it's such mm-hmm. a like seminal board game. But the thing that is like I generally don't like long games.
Sure,
I am,
sure.
And the one of the main reasons is that I get concerned where the commitment of we sit down and we go, oh, I'm going to play a long game like Twilight Imperium.
Yeah,
and I haven't played it, and it's a case of, if I don't like it, I don't want to be the guy that goes, I don't want to be here, and I don't want to screw up your game and leave. So it's been one of those that I'm interested in it, but also setting aside that amount of time and commitment makes me a bit nervous.
I think if you get to the point where you actually are setting time aside to do it, I mean, it's not like Axis and Allies.
Okay.
And if you're trying to compare it to something like that, it was basically where you there's going to be a player elimination, and that poor bastard's going to have to sit there in Russia with his one tank forever. it's going to suck. It's not anything like that. Usually, most of the time, each turn, if the players know what they're doing, is going to go by fairly quickly.
Yeah.
There is an end game pretty much always in sight.
Okay.
Usually there's something going on, something for you to do every turn. So you're not just sitting there just waiting for another person to finish their turn.
Okay, that's fair enough. Because it's like friends of mine were super into 3rd edition.
Yeah.
And it was one of those where when they would be like, oh yeah, we're going to get together and play Twilight Imperium. And it's like, you know, I'm busy, enjoy. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, so we spent like 10 hours and we didn't actually finish the game.
No, you'll finish the game in this new edition.
Okay. It's a little quicker, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little quicker. I mean, again, it is a time sink. It is, you're going to take a whole day, 6 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
You just, if you make the plans for it, like we usually play on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It would start at 10 a.m. in the morning and then go into like maybe 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And
okay, that's not so bad.
Break for lunch.
It's like 2 long board games.
Yeah. But it's a great tactic game. It's very good. Very happy with it. So, yeah. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of go a different direction. I'm not actually going to recommend a game.
Okay.
One of my favorite bands, Arkells, are actually a Canadian band. They're actually dropping a new album this week, Rally Cry, and like the 4 tracks that they've released this far have been really good.
Sure. What type of music?
So. Kind of like alternative-y, kind of like.
Is it like a similar band that maybe somebody, because I've never heard of the band that you're talking about.
Not so. Quite as hard as Foo Fighters, but kind of in that same vein.
Okay.
A little bit more hard. Yeah. Not quite as crunchy.
Okay.
Basically picture like Foo Fighters if like Dave Grohl wouldn't have been in Nirvana. Like that more kind of vibe.
Mm.
Like take the slight grunge vibe out of Foo Fighters and you'll have
Nirvana. The drummer in Nirvana looks so much like Dave Grohl.
It's so weird, right? I know. I can't believe it.
Isn't Will Ferrell the drummer for Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I've heard rumors.
Talladega Nights, Matt Smith.
Yeah.
So what was the band's name again?
Arkells.
Arkells?
Arkells.
Okay, so not like R. Kelly, but
yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm R. Kelly. Have you actually ever watched like the whole like 27 parts to Trapped in the Closet?
No,
it is truly actually a masterpiece.
Don't fucking recommend it. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
There's a midget. There's a lady who eats pie. It's weird.
I think with that.
Concussion. So I guess. I'm just giving everyone a concussion.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. All right.
And we out.
Bye.